here. Ben, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Stuart. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You've mentioned that you partner with over 70 colleges around the country to help students who are applying for admission to college, possibly transferring, wanting to change schools, by offering a gap year experience that makes it easier for them to segue into their college experience.
That's right. We currently have 45 fantastic university and college partners, and we'll have about 70 by this fall. We tend to call it the gap year without the gap. So you get all the benefits of a gap year, but you're staying on track for a 4-year graduation plan. And in pretty much every case, really lowering your tuition as well.
Ben, walk me through the admissions process for this. Let's say we have a person who's a junior in high school rising to their senior year. What are they thinking about? How do you approach them? How do they consider the different partner schools that you work with? Is the application something like the Common App where you can apply to more than one school?
Yeah, it's very similar. So our application on our website is a very straightforward application. It's 2 pages. The first page is mostly contact information, things like that. Second page is academic background, extracurriculars. And then there's a question on the second page that asks, which of our partner colleges and universities would you like to apply to? And applicants can select up to 5 of those schools. All they do is check off the boxes. And then we have a conversation with every single applicant. We have a large admissions team of about 15 admissions counselors right now. So they schedule a call with our applicants and really talk through our consortium and which schools would be a great fit for that student's interests, their strengths, areas they want to improve, just a good environment for that student. And then once we've compiled the full application, we work directly with the admissions teams of each of those schools to get an admission decision for that student. And one of the benefits is really that, regardless of a college's deadlines or application fees or anything like that, if you apply through Verto, you get a free, non-binding rolling admission decision within 2 weeks, no matter what time of year. So you mentioned juniors. The second they get their completed junior transcript, we can start getting them admission decisions before they even start senior year. And this time of year, especially with everything going on in the world, we're getting about 50 applications a day from current seniors, even in late May right now. And while they may have some uncertainty around what next year is going to look like, within 2 weeks, they'll get a lot of clarity and some options. And then they get to spend their first semester or two of college traveling with Verto and fulfilling 16 general education credits per semester. So they can do either 1 or 2 semesters with us.
Is this process more similar to like early decision or early action? If a student's accepted quickly, that like within 2 weeks, mm-hmm. is there an obligation to commit?
There is not. So it is non-binding. So students are going to get answers. They're going to have options. We very often see students' blood pressure drop very quickly. They're calm. they have some options, whether they're juniors or seniors. And at that point, the ball is in that student's court. They can choose on their own time which school they would like to attend. And the bonus is that they get a really impactful field-based hands-on first semester of college and can use that time even to inform where they want to go and what they want to study. So they're coming into the campus with a lot more clarity on their future.
So there are schools in your partnership list like Muhlenberg, Bucknell, the College of William and Mary. Some of those schools are relatively selective. Mm-hmm. Do they place any limits on how many candidates can funnel through you?
Not how many. And it's actually really interesting for students, and it's also interesting for the school. I like to think that we're a good matchmaker because for schools where normally they would have really strict restrictions on a specific GPA or test score or something like that, through Verto, If a student's dream school is maybe a reach school or maybe even out of reach traditionally, that student can apply through Verto. And then for one, our partners have partnered with us because they really value the type of experiences that our students are having, and they want those students on their campus. They know that they're going to contribute to campus life in a much greater way. They're going to be ready and successful. So there's a lot more space for our schools to see progress from our students than students who are applying in the traditional path and they need to have, you know, a spotless high school record. So our partners are actually able to offer conditional acceptances to students who may not be showing that they're prepared yet. So rather than getting a letter that says, "We regret to inform you," you know, that familiar letter, our students will receive in many cases a conditional acceptance that says congratulations and basically says, as long as you successfully complete your Verto semester, we'll see you in January on campus. Or if they want to do two Verto semesters, we'll see you as a sophomore in the fall after your time with Verto. And so the school is able to get more insight into that student and saying they're getting progress reports from our faculty and staff showing that the student is improving and that they're on track to be successful at that school.
How does your team coordinate this with the financial aid process at these?
That's a really, really important piece of this. So right out the gate, a Verto semester is designed to be affordable. We do not have the overhead of a large campus in the United States. We are a travel-based organization. So our overhead is lower, and therefore we can charge a lower cost of attendance to our students. So freshman year, or the first year of college, is already a really good investment and a good ROI. But for the remaining piece of it, when a student receives an admission decision from one of our partners, it will come with scholarships and aid based on the current year's tuition and room and board and everything. And obviously that fluctuates year to year. But the other piece of this is, as I mentioned, our partner schools really want students with these types of experiences. So many of them offer a Verto scholarship. So that's really to account for everything that they're going through and all the experiences that they're going to be bringing to campus. So rather than just having the cost of the first year of college be a lot lower, in most cases, it's actually a good way to save on 4 years of tuition as well.
To answer your
question about financial aid, Verto, you can actually use FAFSA, so Pell Grants and Stafford Loans, you can, and 529 savings plans, all of that you can use toward your freshman year with Verto as well.
The thing I'm wondering too is, are there any other expenses the student is responsible for beyond the tuition fees and beyond like the things that normally come with instruction, like books and supplies?
We have two categories of semesters with Verto, and full disclosure, our goal as an organization is to become the biggest freshman class in the world. We feel like the world would be at a better place if more and more students had this type of experience and interact with people with different backgrounds. So in order to do that, we need a wide range of types of semesters to attract and properly serve different types of students. So we have on-campus semesters, and then we have field-based semesters. And so for our field-based semesters, these are programs where you're traveling in a cohort of students, around 20 students, with your program leaders and your faculty, your professors. And the student to staff ratio is pretty ridiculous. It's at worst 5-1. So every single student is getting one-on-one mentorship and support on a regular basis. Obviously a small class size. And the coursework is tied in with real-world experiences and field work in those topics. So very interdisciplinary, very hands-on, active, practical, and tangible. And for those field semesters, the tuition does include 16 credits. It includes food while you're traveling, housing, activities while you're traveling, because you're going to amazing parts of the world, so we want you to take advantage of that. So things like whitewater rafting and zip lining, depending on where you are, that's also included in your tuition. And the only things it really doesn't cover are the flights, because we have students coming from all over the world, so that's a really hard thing to standardize. And then you mentioned books. We actually run all of our coursework, the readings and everything, off of e-readers like Kindles, because it's easier to pack, they're very lightweight, and it's actually more affordable. If you think about textbooks, a lot of textbooks for various majors can be like $600 each. And so the entire semester can fit on a Kindle that with that and the readings themselves are around a couple $100. And then you could sell or rent the Kindle after that too.
So maybe you could send them back, like after you're done with the class, you can actually get them back.
Yep, exactly. So, really the only things that students are paying for outside of the tuition are the flights and then, snacks and souvenirs if they want to bring some things home like that.
You said the ambition a moment ago is the largest freshman class in the world. How many freshmen do you expect to work with this fall?
This fall? Freshmen. So this is, as everyone knows, this is a very strange year. And actually after coronavirus had everybody on stay at home orders and everything, sounds counterintuitive, but our enrollment has actually skyrocketed since then. And I can talk about why, but we're getting about 50 applications a day from seniors, even in late May right now. Wow. And we put out a scenario plan for, depending on how this summer progresses nationally and internationally, we have a plan to make sure that no matter what happens, our students will be freshmen in the fall. And in order to do that, we need our plan A to be ready. We need our plan B and our plan C to be just as good. So to do that, we actually have limited our fall class to 500 students. So about the same size as, a class of a small liberal arts school, that kind of thing.
And is it more difficult for the students to choose a college among your partners if they can't visit?
That's an interesting question. No more than the general public, I would say, but we actually do have a resident in-house college counselor who can work with students on our partner list. And then also if a student is specifically looking at any schools that we're not partners with, we can work with them too. So our college counseling team will work with students and really come up with a good list and give background. Every college right now that I'm aware of is doing virtual tours and things like that. So it's obviously not the same feel as walking around on campus, but I think everybody's in the same boat right now.
Well, your partner schools do like Virto specials in terms of special tours,
we do partner with us. our consortium regularly on college events and things like that. And it's a unique opportunity for families because they get direct access to the vice president of enrollment and the dean of admissions because of our partnerships. So yeah, we are doing events like that as well.
How many years have you been walking students through this process and having it evolve the way it has?
This model is pretty new and obviously innovative. This is a very different way to go about college. So we're in our third year of running semesters on the ground. And through our operations partners and things like that internationally, we have the infrastructure of about 38 years. Yeah.
So you'll have your senior class, your first senior classes coming pretty soon.
In a couple of years. Yeah.
Partners.
Yep.
According to your website, students may travel to Hawaii because travel restrictions and the COVID-19 have not spread as badly as, let's say, New Jersey, where I live.
Yeah.
Where else have they been able to go given the restrictions on travel that are out there now?
So the Hawaii semester, we were actually planning on running that in fall 2021, and everything with coronavirus really escalated that for us. So we had that ready to go for a year from now, but we were hearing from families that they would feel more comfortable with more domestic travel. And Hawaii is among the lowest cases of coronavirus in the country, so it's very secure. It's important to us, too, that not only are we keeping our students as safe as possible, but we also don't want to negatively impact the communities that we're going to. So depending on how things progress, we have plans in Hawaii and every one of our other locations to, take the proper precautions and quarantine and things like that, so that when we do navigate Hawaii or any of our other locations, we're not impacting the community. So we start every semester already with a 1 week orientation at a base house in a pretty quiet area. That's intentional regardless. And so with this fall, if necessary, we'll also, have that same exact format where it's easy to self-distance. And we would extend it to 2 weeks and start the semester after a week of orientation. In addition to Hawaii for fall right now, we're still in scenario A of our scenario plan. So we are business as usual. We are fully anticipating running our semesters in Hawaii. We have a Latin America semester that goes to Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic. And one of the highlights of that semester is our global health course. And it's a field-based semester, so they're doing things like building aqueducts to get running water to a community that doesn't have access to clean water. So that's relating directly to their coursework on public health. We have another semester in Spain. That's a campus-based semester. So it's in Madrid, Spain. We have another one in London, England. And then we have one in the South Pacific. In one semester, our students go to Fiji, New Zealand, and Australia. And so all of these locations right now, we're in direct contact with their national governments, CDC, the State Department, our ground operations teams. And it's all systems go right now, actually.
Even for London with COVID-19?
Yep, London and Spain, actually, we're seeing, especially in Madrid, in the area where we are, that things are progressing in a really positive way.
Do you expect you'll be adding more locations?
Not for this fall. Hawaii was our big addition, but you know, every year we are expanding. Our enrollment is growing pretty dramatically, so we are going to be expanding for fall 2021. So that'll continue. But for fall 2020, those are the locations that we're offering. And that is scenario A. Scenario B is we are an open book. You can actually see our scenario plan on our homepage of our website. And we're in regular contact with all of our enrolled families about how things are looking. But let's say one of those locations does not improve or gets worse. By being admitted to Virto, you are admitted to any of our locations. So if we aren't able to run one of them, you can go to any of our others. So because of our flexibility internationally, we really feel strongly that we are the best bet for in-person instruction this fall out of any college, just because we aren't beholden to one campus. If there's a secure part of the world this fall, we are going to be operating there. The scenario C, which is really worst case scenario, if every single campus in the world is unable to operate in person, then we've partnered with Minerva Project, which is the best international online college program in the world. And so their scenario A is our scenario C. And so if no one's able to operate in person this fall, we would start this semester with the best version of online programming. And then the second that things are looking better and more secure, we would pivot to become a hybrid semester where our students and we will hop on a plane and then finish the semester in person together.
So could Minerva jump in and be the partner if let's say the school that this person's transferring to all of a sudden can't welcome you to campus? Could Minerva become the fallback partner?
You mean after the semester
with you is over?
It's definitely not looking like that'll be the case. I think there's enough progress being made globally. But you know, if that were the case, then yeah, Minerva would be an option as well. But that would be, you know, if after this entire coming academic year that weren't possible, then yeah, Minerva would be an option.
Definitely. Given that you're going to be sending people all over the world, are there circumstances in the scenario plan where students might be delayed in coming home?
No, we would not run a semester if we weren't confident and capable to run it properly. And I can give this past spring as an example. We had students in the field in multiple areas of the world. We had Latin America, we had the South Pacific. We obviously were keeping a minute by minute eye on everything in every location we were in. And we had town hall meetings with our enrolled families, both with the students and the parents back home, and kept them updated. And it was unanimous that they all wanted us to continue the semester in person because they felt more confident that it would be safer with Virto. And eventually it came down to a logistical decision where we didn't want any scenario to play out where a student would be stuck in a country. So we ended up making a decision, and within 48 hours, every single student was home from Costa Rica, from New Zealand, all over the world. So we have the infrastructure in place to really make smart, fast decisions. But this is a masterclass in worst case scenarios right now. We really don't anticipate having to do this ever again.
So you've brought people, you've had the experience of bringing people home.
Yep.
What happened to the rest of the coursework they were going to do?
So we had already built out some online options. And so within a week, everyone was online. And it was actually a really interesting experience for our students because they had already spent a couple of months traveling together. So they had that community already. And they were actually excited to hop online and see each other and catch up with friends and with their professors who they'd been traveling with. So our students have a much different relationship with professors than traditional education because they are backpacking with them, essentially. And so they were really engaged in their coursework right off the bat. And then the other piece is that we're able to really evolve our curriculum based on current events. So one of our courses is a public health course and taught by an adjunct from Johns Hopkins, and they specialize in viruses. So what a timely thing. They ended up changing the curriculum to speak specifically about coronavirus and what's happening in the world. So pretty riveting coursework for our students.
That's pretty serious stuff for people who are just starting college too.
I know. Yeah, it's an opportunity that's like graduate level opportunities at a first year of college level. So pretty awesome.
If they are getting these experiences, does the first semester they go back to a regular college sometimes, does that feel like a letdown for them?
No, if anything, it brings it alive. A lot of students, when they go into college, everything is kind of abstract and theoretical. They're sitting at a desk being told about something. But our students, when they get to a college, their coursework, they actually have life experiences that they can apply to that coursework. So it becomes more real for them. And they're way more engaged. And also on top of that, just the work we do on the front end with our programming, our 1 week orientation that talks about self-advocacy and the fact that in life, no one's going to care about your outcomes as much as you are. So you need to learn how to ask questions and ask for help. The work we do on study skills and time management, all of that. Plus the fact that, you're going out to dinner with your professors and asking a lot of questions and getting way more engaged. When students arrive at campus, Virto students are taking advantage of a lot of great resources that are on campuses that a lot of students don't typically acknowledge. So our students use professors' office hours. They use the career services office and all of those things that are great services that most students just don't take advantage of.
Are you going to have procedures in place for the medical side, like before the kids get on the plane?
And even in a normal year, we have that. So we have a medical screening team. We have a director of safety and risk management. And that's a part of the whole onboarding process for our students already.
Yep. You have how many partners total now?
45, and we'll have about 70 this fall. And we're being very intentional about the colleges and universities that we do partner with. We're at the point now where we're turning down about as many as we are signing on with. We care about the student experience and student outcomes, and there's a lot of value in having a critical mass of students at each campus, because then as a student, you're arriving on campus with a built-in community of like-minded students with similar backgrounds and experiences. So you have a really tight-knit crew of friends right out the gate. You're not going to miss a beat when you arrive on campus. So we're going to be limiting it to about 70 this fall. And we're also careful to not have any redundancies in our consortium. We want a school for every type of student and not to spread people too thin. So, we have big schools and small schools and public and private and rural and urban and highly selective schools. And then schools where if high school was not really your natural habitat for learning, we still have a great spot for you. So our student body is very diverse. We have valedictorians. We have students who, were not really thrilled to be in high school, and they're finally excited to learn when they come to Virto. We have everybody in between.
Will people be able to segue into things like engineering, accounting, nursing, that typically that freshman year is used for prep work?
Right. There are a couple of things that we're working on. One is right now, a Virto semester fulfills 16 general education credits, and there are a lot of majors that historically have prevented students from studying abroad because they are they have a very specific major, and by the time you get to junior year, you've fulfilled those gen eds and you have those really specific courses that are only offered at that school. But when you do Virto, it's your first year, so you haven't fulfilled those requirements yet, and it's much easier to stay on track to graduate within 4 years, even if you have a specific major. We do also have some semesters that are more specific to those disciplines. So we have a STEM semester that we're going to be offering in 2021 for science, technology, engineering, and math, and it's computer science and engineering, things like that. And as we expand, we will go into other disciplines that are more specific too. But so for I would say like 99% of students, we already have semesters that are relevant.
So if you want to have the largest freshman class in the world one day, you're probably going to need a lot more partners.
Yes. Yep. And it's important that we grow our consortium at the same rate as our student body so that we don't have, you know, one student at a campus. We really want a good group of students together. So but yeah, we are adding partners. We added three last week alone, actually.
Ben, thank you.
And actually, one of them I'm hopping on an onboarding call right after this with Valparaiso in Indiana.
They were a good basketball school a while back.
Indeed.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's son played there. So that would be an intro. That would be, and that's also a school that's broken into a business school and a law school and other different things, and that will give someone another choice as well.
Yep. And that's, if you look at our consortium, it's great. It's not just liberal arts schools. We have Case Western Reserve, which is a really strong STEM school. We have strong business schools. We have everything. Yep.
Ben, thank you for spending the time with me today. This has been quite informative, and your progress to date has been quite impressive as an organization. Again, this is Stuart Nachbar, Educated Quest, your guide for the journey to college and before. Signing off. Ben, thank you again, and have a good day.
Thank you, Stuart. Great talking with you.
Good talking to you, too. Goodbye.